how to calculate your net worth so you can be a real estate investor. That's today's show. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris. I'm the co-founder of Morris Invest, rehab thousands of homes, and we own many, many dozens of properties. I'm Clayton Morris. You are?
Natalie Morris. Am I the other co-founder?
I guess. Are you the co-founder? I don't know. I kind of founded the company a while before you got on board.
What do you mean by that? I guess that's not a conversation for us to have on a podcast. I don't know what you even mean by that.
Well, I just mean like, you know, I roped you into being a part of this podcast, I guess is what I mean, like a while ago.
Oh, well, yeah, when it comes to – okay.
Yeah, and this show because –
I'm the unwitting co-executive – I'm the silent partner that's not so silent, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, so on today's show, we are going to talk about something. We just got an email in from someone. I thought, hey – I think it was your idea. So why don't we do a whole show around this very issue? And I said, great, because this will answer a question that we just had from one of our listeners, one of our viewers, who asked this question, quote, do you have a rule of thumb for the maximum amount of debt that you carry relative to the net worth of your portfolio and or how fast you like to pay off your HELOC loans, your home equity loans? So can you put that in plain English for me? Can you ask that question another way?
Me?
Yes.
Or the other person who asked it?
No, not the person that sent it in.
Who, me?
It's a very technical question, but right. Can you put it in layman's terms so I can understand it?
Okay, so what this person wants to know is when you make an investment that you don't use cash for, then you're going to carry debt on an investment. Either it's, you know, an investment in a business or an investment in a real estate piece of property. And so they want to know, do we sort of balance what we owe in general as a family versus what we own so that we are not carrying too much debt relative to our assets? So what he wants to know is how, or she, I didn't look at the name of the person that it came from, how we balance assets versus liabilities. And then when we continue to gain assets, do we make sure that we're not too heavy on the liability side? Right. And so that's the sort of founding principle of net worth. And I asked Clayton, well, have we really gone over net worth in a very basic level? Because that might be a worthwhile thing to do so that everyone sort of goes through this exercise so that they can make a decision on how to invest.
Right. I mean, we kind of look at this with the freedom number. We talk about the freedom number cheat sheet that people can download at morrisinvest.com/freedom. It's totally free. It's 3 pages long. In that cheat sheet, though, what we're looking at is we're adding up all of our monthly expenses. But that's totally different than really, I think, understanding your liabilities and how that offsets your assets, that negates your assets, so you can figure out your overall net worth, right? Like,
right.
Your monthly expenses, your Netflix bill, your going out to eat and having dinners out, entertaining, that's totally different, right?
Right. Your net worth, you can sort of think about like in the zombie apocalypse, if you had to sell everything that you own right now and pay off all of your liabilities, how much cash would you have? That's your net worth. So you can say, I'm worth $10 million. That doesn't mean that you have readily accessible $10 million. That means that you add up what you own, you subtract what you owe, and that's what you would have left over, right? And so we like to, in our family, we recalculate our net worth at least 2 or 3 times a year. So because we have goals, we want our net worth to be growing. And so from one time to the next, like say 3, 4, 5 months in between, we can tell a story of where that number has gone. It's sort of It's like the days of your lives. It's a numerical, I don't know, like a numerical tale.
Right. It's a beautiful story. It is a beautiful story. You can tell
it's like Aesop's Fables, only in Excel spreadsheets.
Only like in Scrooge McDuck swimming through gold coins. That's how we want to live. Well, we all, of course, want our net worth to grow. And, you know, I learned this lesson, this fable, if you will, a few years ago, understanding that wealthy people, you know, don't sit there and stare at their cash flow and their piles of cash. That means little to wealthy people. What does mean much to wealthy people is their net worth. So on paper, how much are they worth? What is their net worth on paper that they can leverage? And really, this question from this listener, this viewer, was around leverage and leveraging your net worth. How do you know what formula you should use to figure out how much debt you're carrying? So that's a great question. So let's dive into understanding a little bit more about net worth and some of the mechanics of it. So what are some of your assets? What is an asset?
Okay, so here's what you have to do is you gather up all of your assets and you make a list of them. Funny story is that my father used to make me do this when I was just 12 years old because he really wanted me to understand the idea of worth and, you know, the idea of only taking on as much liability as you can afford. And so when I was 12, I would list out my assets. And it was like I had some money in a money market for college savings. And then I would list whatever else I had, like a Nintendo, a bicycle. I had an NES Zapper. He wanted me to estimate what those things were worth. Like if I sold them to somebody else, there was no Craigslist back then, but if I just went out and sold it, how much cash would I have? He made me even sort of tally up how much my clothes were worth if I were to donate them. So, I mean, this is not something I do now. I don't think of our more tangible assets. I don't go around our house and say like, oh, this stapler is worth $5. Let's add that up. And, you know, this, my son's bicycle is worth $100. Let's add that up. So now I sort of go for the higher level stuff. But when you're just getting started, you can see how that's a good exercise for a child to just add up what they own, right? What's in their piggy bank, and then what's in their room. Now it's a little bit more complicated than that. So I'll take, you know, what savings accounts we have, what stock accounts we have, what tax protected savings accounts we have, like a 401k or an IRA, what college savings funds we have, like a 529. And then you add up everything that you've got that's either liquid or could be liquid in cash, right? You tally those up. Then you continue to add up your assets, which include property, vehicles, real estate investments, art also counts. What else do you think?
Assets. A boat. If you've got a boat that's paid off.
A boat counts.
So I guess I'm curious too.
No, it doesn't have to be paid. None of this stuff has to be paid off. You're only estimating in the value column what it would be worth if you sold it. Okay. So it's not what you own on it. This is not equity. This is just market value. It may not even be, for instance, you know, because in our assets column.
We'll get to the liability part later.
Later.
Right, gotcha. Okay. So it's the worth of that car, the market value of that car.
Right.
If I were to go to the open market or Kelly Blue Book value and sell that car.
Right. So for instance, when we secure a home equity line of credit on a property, they'll do a new appraisal. And if that's significantly higher or lower than what we paid on the house, I'm going to change that in our asset column because it tells me that my real estate has appreciated or depreciated. Of course, I'm going to take it for a grain of salt because not all appraisals are worth their weight in gold, but I'm going to sort of
very few of them are.
Well, right. Yeah. So, but you know, I'm still going to list that in my assets. So you're just, again, you're taking everything and gathering it into a big pile. This is the closest that you can get to the Scrooge McDuck vault of gold. Like this is everything you've got, all of your investments, all of your stock, all of your liquid cash, all of your, anything that's worth anything you're going to put on this sheet. And then you're going to get a number. You're just going to do a sum at the bottom, have your Excel spreadsheet tally it up. And that's going to tell you everything that is yours in your name that you could sell, that you could gather up, that you can touch. Okay. That's your assets column.
So let's just say for the benefit of this podcast, let's just say your assets amount to $300,000.
Okay.
In value. Okay.
Right.
The car not paid off. Your home, not necessarily paid off. Your art collection, hopefully paid off. Hopefully you're not putting that on a credit card. Your 401k, it's all your money, so that should be paid off since it's all your cash. And that amounts to $300,000.
Okay.
Okay. So then let's move on to liabilities. What exactly is a liability? Again, it's not your cable bill, right? It's not your gas bill for the month, Netflix, et cetera. No,
liabilities are not your expenses. Liabilities are just the debt you own on your assets. Okay. So you have $100,000 house, but you owe still $50,000. $50,000 is what your current debt is. That's your current liability, right?
Right.
So what do you owe on your car? What do you owe? Do you have a home equity line of credit? Put that down. What are your credit card debts? Put those down in there. What other loan you might have? Student loan. That's a liability, right? Anything that you can get a payoff balance for, right? You can't go to the cable company and say, what's my payoff balance? Meaning I never have to pay you again, but I'll always get cable. It just doesn't work that way. Those are just monthly expenses. We're talking about what is an actual balance on some kind of bank account that's a liability against something. So you take those and you add those up, right? Now you've got two sums, one sum of assets, one sum of liabilities. Your net worth is just the difference between the two. So you subtract your liabilities from your assets. That tells you what you're worth. If you were to sell everything and then pay off your creditors, you would have this lump of cash. That's your net worth. Now, obviously, this informs your decision making every time you then get an investment, right? So if Clayton has before come to me and said, well, you know, I found this great property in New Jersey and, you know, it seems like it'll sell for this much, but, you know, we have to buy it for this much. And there's an oil tank in the front and it needs $80,000 worth of work and probably the foundation's cracked and we need to secure private money on it. And I said, well, okay, we're going to buy this and it will be worth maybe $400,000, but our liabilities on it will be about $390,000. We're not doing that. Right? Because it doesn't really increase it may increase our net worth by $10,000, but I don't know that because that's based on an approximate market value. That's not a good, so we're making decisions on increasing the asset column, decreasing the liabilities column so that the net worth is always going up.
Well, you bring up a great point. So that when people ask me, well, do you flip houses? What about, are you in the flipping game? It's like, no, I don't do that. You know, I don't buy New Jersey homes for $200,000 and then spend 6 months rehabbing it to sell it for $270,000. It's never, you know, I not to say that I haven't done it. I certainly have done it. I just choose not to because exactly that. I want to be adding assets to my asset column. Cash, you know, being able to do that based on the appreciation and grabbing $10,000, $20,000 is great for that little influx of cash. But I want to be adding to my net worth column with these assets that are going to produce cash flow for me down the line. So that's a great point. Where we've looked at some of these investments, we had one in West Orange. Was it West Orange? Remember that one? And
yeah.
I mean, on the surface, I mean, we ran the numbers. We did all the due diligence. We had our contractor go through and I think we were going to buy it for $270,000 and put like $100,000 into it and try to sell it for five something. I don't know what it was, but in the holding cost, the holding time of like 8 months, and it just was not.
Well, the taxes were at least $20,000 for the year, and we couldn't guarantee that we could finish it within a year, plus a 12% private money note. And I thought, well, we're going to eke out maybe $10,000 for a year and a half of work. It just felt like, and because that's not our primary business. So we didn't just have contractors here in New Jersey that we trusted to move this forward in a timely manner. And if they didn't, we'd pay $40,000 in taxes for holding it for 2 years. So we just couldn't make that work. So we're not trying to do transactional business here. We're trying to have passive income by building that asset column, right?
Right, exactly. So when you figure out your net worth, as you say, this is often referred to as equity. That's your number, the difference between the two. Now, so in that example where we had 300,000 as our example, 300,000, and let's just say minus, I don't know, what's a good number? 250,000 worth of liabilities. Does that make sense?
I think if you have, yeah, I guess that's pretty good. I would say if you have a let's say someone has $100,000 worth of debt, including mortgage and a car and a credit card, right? So that's a third, right?
Right. So you'll have $200,000 of equity to work with.
Right. So your net worth is $200,000. That's what you're worth on paper, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, that's also the beauty of this is in your borrowing potential. So if you are working with a private lender, you're working with other lenders, they're going to look at your net worth and your debt to income. They're going to look at your debt versus what you make. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly comes back to the question. So I'll reread her question. Do you have a rule of thumb for the maximum amount of debt you carry relative to the net worth of your portfolio and how fast you pay off your home equity lines of credit? Do we have a rule of thumb? I mean, the rule of thumb is that you want to actually have some chunk of debt, right? Otherwise, then you're operating as too cash rich.
Right. Then you're not properly leveraging that cash in order to continue to grow your portfolio, right?
Or grow your business, right? So this goes through also owning and growing a business, like your dad likes to say, who owns a very large landscaping company, has what, like a couple hundred employees and all kinds of $1 million diggers and tractors and, you know, things that rip apart the ground, where he will literally go and buy like a $1 million toy, you know, that he then uses for 30 years, you know, for his company. Yeah. He looks at that to see, okay, am I expanding and growing the company? And you could transpose company for your personal family business, right? Your personal assets and putting more properties into your asset column. That is a family business, right? You have an LLC. That is a business. So are you putting additional assets into that column, or are you just sitting on cash and not using it properly and building your net worth?
Right. So what I did in this spreadsheet is I just did a simple Excel calculation as I divided my liabilities by my total assets. And that gave me a debt to equity ratio, right? So not debt to income, but debt to equity. That means how much debt am I taking on versus what I own? Am I using what I own to take on an acceptable amount of debt? Our current debt to equity ratio, I can just tell you this right now, is 34%, 34.08%.
That's our debt.
That's our debt to equity. Yeah. So based on what we've got right now, our liabilities only represent 30% of what we own. So what we own right now, we are increasingly, this is a weird way to say it, we're owning it more and more every month, right? Because we're paying down those liabilities. Now, we're paying down liabilities that we don't want so that we can take on liabilities that will grow our net worth. Let me explain that. So we don't necessarily want to hold a car payment or a house payment on our primary home. What else here? The car.
A boat.
We don't own a boat.
We don't own a boat.
Clayton really wants to buy a boat. So that's why he keeps saying that. And he keeps coming home and I'm like, we're not buying a boat.
I keep trying to work it into the podcast.
We can fit a boat in there. Like, let me just add a line.
Just stick a boat in there. Yeah, stick another as a line item in there. even like our kids' schooling, right? We added that to our liabilities column because
you can't put expenses in your liabilities column, right?
But
because even though we kind of know how much we will pay every year for this school, those things can change and I can't pay it all now. I can't go to them and say, here's a big old check for, you know, my son's schooling from first to eighth grade. It just doesn't work that way, right?
Yeah.
So, I wish we could, but we can't. So this is only, these represent like bank accounts, right? Because your mortgage is nothing more than a bank account. Your mortgage has an account number and you can put money into it. It's just a bank account that's in the red, basically.
Right.
So these are things with an estimated payoff amount, right? Your home, your car, your boat, those kind of things. So what we're trying to do is knock out those liabilities that represent sort of our personal living because, you know, our home mortgage doesn't really add to our net worth. That's not leveraging our debt for anything other than the ability to live in this house. So we want to get rid of our home mortgage so that we can use that debt to build the asset column. Does that make sense?
Right, exactly.
So what, like, if you look here on this liabilities column, we have our home mortgage, but we also have Lima One Capital Loan, which is a portfolio loan that we took out in order to buy a package of 8 properties at, I think it was about 7%. I want more of that kind of debt because that debt was awesome. It gained us 8 properties. They cash flow $5,000 a month. Our debt service on it is only about $2,000 a month. So that nets $3,000 a month. Even though I'm paying off that liability, I want more of those and less of like the car payments and the house payments and the credit card payments. Make right. sense?
Exactly. Because it's not so adding to your net worth.
Fine with liabilities, but there are liabilities and then there are liabilities. And I want the liabilities that add to my asset column.
Right. So when you're looking at, let's say you own 5 properties free and clear, and then you get a portfolio loan or you go to a private lender and you get a portfolio loan for 7% and they're going to give you 75% the value of those 5 properties, right? So now you're able to pull out, let's say the value of those 5 properties is, just for round numbers, is $500,000, right? And then you're going to go to a bank and they're going to give you 75%. That's what, $350,000? Value of that, right? Is that 350? So they're going to give you $350,000, right? And then you could take that. Now you've got the equity pulled out. You're able to use those home equity loans, that portfolio loan, however you do it, and buy an additional 3 properties or 4 properties with that money. And then you're adding those 4 properties now to your net worth column. And so that's what we've become laser focused on over the past few years, is building that net worth column up from a meager amount, right? Because we had a lot of debt. We didn't have a lot of assets, building right. that column up. So it's really strong now. And to your point, it's about, you know, it's like 70-30 from assets to liabilities. And that's a really good place to be. When you're thinking about leveraging and pulling money out, if you're going to open a home equity line of credit on your primary mortgage, right, in order yeah. to buy rental properties, which is a killer strategy, there are a couple of, obviously, there's many different ways to skin a cat.
Right. So I guess, you know, when you ask about making decisions on how fast we want to pay down that HELOC and, you know, how we add to the liabilities column, yes, once that HELOC is maxed out and we've sort of traded that interest for our primary mortgage, we want to build that HELOC up as fast as we can. And so we're trying really hard to leave as much of the paycheck in the HELOC so that is growing so that we can do that again. And so we sort of set a goal for like how many paychecks until we can do this again, until we can use it again. But it is, in my mind, this is very acceptable debt. Now, some sort of financial gurus will say no debt is acceptable. I don't believe that. This is really acceptable debt because I'm trading debt for debt, like a okay debt for a better debt. And so you don't want to just have a bunch of assets and no liabilities, because then you're sort of you're not using your money in order to make more money. You're not using your equity in order to build.
Right. And it's worth going back to episode 141, where we did here on the podcast, called Rich People Buy Assets. Rich people buy assets, not liabilities. It's worth remembering because the power of that leverage and not being over leveraged, but also being smart with those assets in order to, you know, buy more real estate and build your net worth. Continue to keep the process rolling and moving and shaking.
Right. So I do have a giveaway on my website. If you go to How to Calculate Your Net Worth and Make It Fun on nataliemorris.com. But I don't have in that giveaway, this was written last year. It's just a simple how to, you know, assets minus liabilities. But I can update this for the one that we give away on the podcast if you want, and do that debt to equity ratio so that we just make sure that you can, once you put it all in, you'll see how much debt are you carrying on your assets. And it's very enlightening. It's very eye-opening. You don't want it to be, you know, if you're leveraging like 70%, you're like, whoa, I have way too much debt. This is not the time then to look into a portfolio loan. You need to save some cash. right?
Right.
And so you know that you want to have just healthy, robust numbers. And I think I've said this before on the podcast that, you know, money, it's just an abstraction. These are bank accounts that have my name on them that I can log into on the internet. This cash does not exist in a vault. And so you don't have to be afraid of these accounts. List them all out and really know in your head that money likes to go to people who like to take care of it. So if you're counting it and if you're watching it and you're watching it grow and you're believing in your ability to grow this spreadsheet, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I totally believe that. Money is a manifestation when you place your intention on it. I got an email today from someone, one of our investors, actually. He wrote today, and I haven't heard from him in a few months. And he said, look, I'm ready to take action. I now have a HELOC in place, and I'd like to become a real estate investor with Morris Invest. We spoke a couple of months ago, and I said I would contact you when I've got my house in order and my funding was in place, and now it is, and I'm ready to take action. It's like he knew he was going to make it happen. He took him many, many months, I think it was like 6 months, to get his house in order, and he did, and he's ready to take action. And so I was $70,000 in debt with a foreclosure and had all my assets frozen. And I said, that's not going to be my life. I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to make it happen. And I started focusing on that. I started making a vision board. I started meditating on this, and I really started to take action and move incrementally towards that goal. So anyone who's listening or watching can absolutely go out and do that.
For sure. For sure.
So,
okay. So, well, we hope this wasn't scary. And if you have any questions about it, let us know, because we can help you figure out your spreadsheet and take care of your numbers. It's like a garden. You just tend to your garden. You know, pull out the weeds, the things you don't want, and prune the things you do. And these numbers will grow. And you know, the way we use it is every 3 or 4 months, I tell Clayton, sit down. I'm going to tell you how our numbers have changed. And he comes over. And now, when we first got married, he was like, "What the heck is this?" But now he knows how to read these spreadsheets, and he's like, "Okay, great. That's I feel good about that." And he knows that this is the story of how we have grown. And it's not all, you know, not every month is a growth, but how we've grown from one to the next.
Well, and also I remember how scared I was when we were first looking at that stuff, because it was not fun and it is now fun because, you know, we have like marching orders. We sort of meet once a month. We discuss where we are, where we want to go, how many properties we want to acquire, how do we want to build our portfolio, and we make it a battle plan. And it's exciting. Where in the beginning it was like, oh, don't show me that. I don't want that call up to your office to look at these numbers. Like, it's scary. I'm going to cry. Like, I'm working my tail off. You know, I know, and so it was scary back then, but, it's a different animal now, and it's exciting. And so you can also see that growth, even if it's just a small amount, you know,
right.
Just a small amount is, it doesn't matter. It's one step in front of the other is how you get there. So good stuff. So thank you so much for checking out. We'll have tons of show notes here as well on this podcast for you. As always, go over to our website, morrisinvest.com/episode163. Type it in all lowercase letters, so it'll take you right to the show notes page for this episode. And meanwhile, while you're there, if you're ready to book a call with our team and you're ready to pick up your first rental property and you want a team to do it all for you, that is rehab it, place a tenant in it so you can just create net assets and have cash flow every month. That's what we do. That's the whole thing. That's what we do, my whole team. So go over there to our website, morrisinvest.com. Click on the schedule a consultation button if you'd like. And if you don't, that's fine too. We've got tons of great resources over there, blog posts, tons of podcast episodes for you to check out and to help you become a better investor. So until next time, everyone, go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. We'll see you.
Bye, everyone.